Hey guys, Lance Erline here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Del, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And just another crap night last night. Holy cow. I knew when they squandered all of those opportunities that they had, I knew they were going to lose this game. I just knew it. Altuve homered in the bottom of the fourth, and then absolutely not. I mean, they had so many chances. It just is ridiculous the way that they find to lose at home. It's just ridiculous. And then after getting a runner on in a double play, he walks Donaldson, and then the home. It just is amazing. It just is amazing. Hader's not throwing as hard as he usually does. He's not reaching 96, 97, 98. No, he's not.
Well, he got beaten yesterday. He's blown a save. He's got three appearances with a blown save and a loss.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. Yeah. That's it. And then Altuve gets hit by a ground ball. Altuve gets picked off of third.
Uh-huh.
Jake Myers falls down running.
What a goof.
I mean, it's a comedy. It's a comedy.
It was almost like so many things happened that you knew. You got to Josh Hader and you think, okay, well, this is going to be fine.
No, I knew they were going to lose the game.
I thought with Hader they wouldn't, but they had all the earmarkings of
Justin Turner walked, and he looks like Josh Donaldson to me. Anyway, Justin Turner walked, I said, "Oh crap, this is going to happen." I don't even know who Schneider is. Who is this guy?
The guy who can beat the Astros?
Yeah. I mean, honestly. And he just crushed that pitch. It's a comedy. How in the world, and yet another home loss in a game that you should have won. And you know what? Blame it on the offense, not on Hader. If you want to know the truth, blame it on the offense. You score one run, really? You score one run in a game where you had all that action on the base paths. You had a bunch of traffic, and you couldn't get anything. It's just amazing how they find a way to lose.
For all the great things that Jose Altuve does, and he's the greatest Astro of all time.
Yes, his base running sucks.
God almighty, is it bad.
It's bad.
It's so bad for what he does. You know, George had issues too. But the Astros have not been a great – they've been a very average base running team. But, I mean, you've had moments where Jose Altuve will make big things happen with his speed. Like Carlos Correa was a great base runner. Very smart. Altuve just has, he gets picked off. He makes bad decisions about when to take extra bases. And yesterday was an example of, you just can't have that happen. Jake Myers is just going to fall down sometimes. I expect that.
No,
I expect him to fall down.
He's not just going to fall down.
A fly ball
sometimes.
Hit him on the head. You know, I expect him to, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen to Jake Myers. You don't want it to happen with Jose Altuve, where he makes those kind of mistakes. And yesterday, I mean, you know, yeah, we're early, but you are still 1-5 at home. You're 1-5. That's your record also, by the way. You're 1-5. But you've got a no-hitter, and then you've got four blown leads with the bullpen so far in those six games.
Yeah.
They've blown four of the leads you've had in six games.
Another great, a great start by Fromber. If you want to look at the positive, is Fromber the way he threw?
Fromber is terrific. So maybe after one game we can ease up and just let him roll into it. I mean, And he did look good. He looked like prime Fromber yesterday.
Yep. He really did. It was really nice to see.
I think most of Fromber's stuff is mental. I don't think it's not the stuff and all that. It's always how does he approach. It's probably some physical stuff. I mean, there's probably some issues from a mechanical stuff that he has to work on. But I think a lot of it's just mental. Does he challenge guys? Is he feeling his curveball? Just there's a lot of different things that go into it. But I think for Fromber, it's mostly mental. It usually has been for him.
85 pitches. He got the out after Connor Falefa reached on a ground ball and an infield single. Then Kiermaier grounded into the fielder's choice. He's just at 85 pitches. Did you agree with him taking him out and bringing in Presley? Now, Presley got George to ground out.
No.
It was righty against lefty. But it's only 85 pitches, and he looked awesome.
No, I when Fromber's rolling, I tend to stick with Fromber.
Why wouldn't you stay with him for the whole game?
But it didn't hurt
him. That bullpen sucks.
But it didn't hurt him.
That bullpen is ridiculously bad right now. Ridiculously bad. And your starters have been really good, and you're 1-5. And you know what? This stuff is going to bite you in the ass later. You got to, and for whatever reason, you're going to find a way to lose at home. It's just ridiculous right now how crappy they are. It's ridiculous. This team is too good. This is a really good baseball team. For them to be finding ways to lose night after night after night after night, you have to have a no-hitter to win a freaking game at home. Are you kidding me? You can't win a game unless you have a no-hitter. That's ridiculous. They're ridiculous. One run by this offense, one run, when you had all of that traffic on the bases, making stupid mistakes, falling down, hit by a ball. How do you get hit by a four-hopper? How in the world do you get hit by a four-hopper? How in the world do you get picked off at third base?
Well, we got to tell you that Altuve is a great teammate.
Altuve, kind of hard
because to. It goes down as a Bregman hit.
So you give because you Altuve wanted to get Bregman out of the slump.
Lance called him the greatest Astro, and that's just another reason why Bregman's struggling. Hey,
team guy,
that ball is going to get picked up, and someone's getting thrown out. But you know what? You get hit. Bregman gets a hit.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
He's a team guy. Realize Altuve's always thinking four steps ahead. He's just helping his boy out.
He's playing chess. Okay, on the base path while everybody else is playing baseball?
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. He's playing chess while everybody else is playing baseball. Okay. So, Altuve.
We got to think.
You're so great. You're the greatest Astro ever. What are you thinking about?
We have to think of a comp in a different sport for what this is because he's great and base running is terrible. It doesn't always impact the game. Sometimes it does. What's the comp for this in another sport for a player this good to have that as his issue? Like in basketball, what do you think it would be? That sometimes doesn't matter, but sometimes it does impact games. I don't know what the comp is, particularly for – it'd be like if let's say
– Was Steph considered a great defender?
Well, no. That's brutal. If you're a bad defender, it can be harmful.
Yeah.
But the base running thing can be harmful. Sometimes it doesn't matter. But last night it was a thing. It can't be bad defense.
Turnovers sometimes.
I'm thinking if you're a guy who consistently fouls three-point shooters.
Ooh. That's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't matter.
What about Caitlin Clark's
turnovers?
Yeah,
sometimes it doesn't matter because whatever the score is.
Yeah. What about Caitlin Clark's turnovers?
But she's
honestly, she turns it over.
But that's a bigger deal than, the base running.
Well, yeah, but you got to look
not
at
really, because she wins. I mean, she gets the Final Four.
No, but if you turn the ball.
Altuve, you know.
Nah, but if turnovers can directly affect, depending on the score, maybe, but I think. But I think
so. Is Altuve's base running?
No one's going to remember the base running.
But it takes a bunch of other
things.
Like it takes a bunch of other things to potentially happen. I mean, it can't be something as simple as a base hit, but it's not a direct. It's not. I see what you're saying now. It's not as direct.
Like we're frustrated by this, but it doesn't change how we feel about it. But like if
false start penalty,
Larry Tunsil.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get behind the chains, but at the same time, it just doesn't matter.
But it's also
it matters more when Davis Mills is the quarterback instead of C.J. Stroud.
But also, like, it's so dumb. It feels like it's something he should have figured out by now. I feel like, or a good score, like stepping out of bounds in the corner for a three-point shot. Why do you always step out of bounds? You know the dimension. Stop stepping out of bounds. I can't figure out what this is with him.
Yeah, he takes risks that he doesn't need to take. What are you leading? Where are you going? Where are you going? There's nowhere to go. Why are you taking that lead at third base, jumping, and the catcher, and then all of a sudden he turns around, and there's the third baseman. Didn't you know that a third baseman was standing there? You didn't know that? You're a great, great baseball player. And why are you taking that kind of a lead? There's no reason for it. There's no reason to be jumping out there like that. It just is nuts. Wait, what a waste of Fromber's start. What a waste. Because that's exactly what you needed. You needed that guy to and come up with a win for him. Do something offensively. Altuve homers, and then that's it. That's it. And you got all kinds of opportunities. Talk about a team that's loaded that doesn't take advantage of their talent the way that this Astros team does. What a lineup. This is like one of the best lineups in baseball, and it sucks.
What was their over-under for wins? Was it 93?
91.5.
I got a guy who went with the over, and he can't believe what's going on here.
Well, there's still a lot of time. There's still plenty.
1-5, you think they're going to get better at home?
Yes, they have to get better at home.
Why is that?
Why do they have to?
Yes. They have to. Why?
They have to.
Why?
Because they're going to. Because they're too good a team.
They
were a good team last year and couldn't win anything
in
the playoffs.
Well, they started all of a sudden in mid-September. It wasn't the whole year.
It's been going on for a while, all through the playoffs.
Yeah, all through the playoffs. And now, this series.
All through April?
And that's it. And then when they come home, they're going to destroy.
Sure.
Okay?
That seems likely.
This seems like a good home
team. And they're going to run the bases well. And they're gonna come up with clutch hitting.
Mm.
Yeah, all of those things.
Bregman's going to start hitting.
Bregman's
right?
going to come out, and he is going to destroy. I told you he's a top five MVP.
Well, that's what Altuve was doing last night, keeping that candidacy up to par. Get on base, or not even get on base, just get a hit. Put in the stat sheet. He got a hit last night.
And then the Rockets. All right, we'll talk about them on the other side. What a another crap night for us. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
What a.
Is the dream dead?
Yeah, that dream's over.
Yeah.
That dream's
bad. You know when you make those huge runs, the fact that Golden State just wouldn't give them that lead that they needed to overtake Golden State.
Yep.
You've lost two straight on the road now. You've lost two straight. You had your road win streak snap, but you had a lead, an 11-point lead. At one point, in the first quarter, but you had a 7-point lead after the first. You had a three that extended it to 10.
Let's do it on the other side. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Rockets on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, you're going to talk about Zadok Jewelers.
Oh, man. I got to tell you something. Zadok Jewelers was phenomenal. I absolutely loved the trip over there. It's off of Post Oak. Man, they started with, I've heard the Zadok name for my entire life. They've been around, and they've been a big part of this radio station. But meeting the entire family basically was awesome yesterday. They started at 1,200 square feet back in 1972. They've got over 28,000 square feet now. It's two floors, and the amount of high quality, lifestyle watches is amazing in there. It is incredible. They are the group that people come to, not only for the selection they have and all of the top names internationally, but also where people even get their watches fixed. It's a really big deal. For those of you into watches, you probably know all about Zadok, and if you don't, you really have to get over there. If you're looking for engagement rings, this is going to be the place for you. They custom make anything that you want, but they have a huge selection. You may not even want or need a custom made, but if you have an old piece a family heirloom that you'd like to have, redone, and you'd like to have it recreated, they can do that for you as well. It's an amazing place located right off of Post Oak Boulevard. They moved just a couple of years ago into the new gorgeous space. 1801 Post Oak, largest selection of designer fine jewelry and luxury watches in Houston. Don't miss out on the opportunity to purchase quality, fine quality at fair prices at Zadok Jewelers. You can go online at Zadok, ZADOK.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 718 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. What you think? How about, I'll tell you this. They lost the game, but that basket by Jaylen over Gobert, holy crap. You are not going to see. He's doing some stuff that is as athletic as you can, that is athletically improbable as you're going to see in the NBA. And it's an athletic league, and I don't know that there's anybody that's been more athletic than Jaylen over the last month or so.
No.
Holy crap. He hung in the air. He gets hit by Gobert, hangs in the air, and just before he hits the ground, the floor, he puts it up and in. As good a basket as you're going to see. It wasn't even a dunk, Dell, and I think it should have been a top 10. I know it's not a dunk, so we can't put it in there. It's not a dunk.
Well, it's something he did earlier, I think last week, too. He's now perfected because he wants to pack everything. He wants to dunk the ball all the time. So when he attacks a big man, that's his goal. And then sometimes you meet some resistance. So that's the second time in a matter of maybe three or four games he's done that. Unfortunately for him, he couldn't stop that, what was it, a 23-4 run to close out the half? The Rockets
were up 21. Yeah, the second quarter.
The Rockets were up
21-4.
The Rockets were up 41-31. And the half ended 54-45.
Yeah, it was miserable. So, what was it, 38-22 in the second quarter?
Yeah,
just miserable.
They had, I don't say control as the NBA, but they looked like they had things going their way up 10, and then
the shots started falling. But you know, no Karl Anthony Towns, but Naz Reid had a terrific game, and he's going to win. I think he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year. He's got a shot to win Sixth Man of the Year, but. Man, he had a strong game. How would you like a big who could shoot over 40% from three?
How about those three bigs? Holy crap.
Oh, no. There's a reason. They're way up at the top.
Yeah. They're really good. That's a really good basketball team. I don't feel.
They can lose Karl Anthony Towns and be fine.
That's been in the making. They did some nice drafting. They signed Gobert. It was like, what are you doing signing Gobert?
They traded for him.
Yeah. They in a big trade.
People were mocking them for giving up as many picks and assets as they did for them.
They've done a nice job. That's a nice team. That's a really nice team.
It was unfortunate. It was a night where Anthony Edwards couldn't buy a bucket early. Even the stat came out before the game, or not the stat, but the quote came out before the game. He said his legs were dead, and he started 0-for-4, and it got worse after that. But they just cannot make enough shots, particularly when they were trying to stem the tide of that run. And it just changed complexion. They fought back in the fourth quarter. It felt like it was over, and they started making threes and got back in the game. Yeah. They were within one, I think, and then Conley made a little runner in the lane to get it to three. Then the Rockets had a bad possession. It kind of fell apart after that. But they fought. It just so happens that while they're losing, and then a couple hours later, Golden State's beating Dallas by a couple.
But
Golden State is showing why they're Golden State. Like, they've got this DNA in them with Steph. Boy, how about this run to fend off the Rockets? I mean, they just refuse to let the Rockets overtake them, and now Rockets push that boulder so far up the hill that it's just rolling back downhill on them, which is, you only have so long that you can keep that going. Now it's going to take a phenomenal run by the Rockets, and they're going to need a lot of help too. You almost need a win out, and one of those wins would be a full game, because you play Golden State. That's not even up for debate. You must beat Golden State, but frankly, you're going to have to win most of these headed out, because I'm not sure Golden State's going to lose more than one or two at most.
Well, look at it. Yeah, they're up. They're back. Three back,
four
and
back.
Golden State holds the tiebreaker even if the Rockets win. Yeah. So they'd have to be better than Golden State by four games.
Oh, and they need Golden State to
fall apart.
Yeah. No, they'd have to lose four or five straight, and they're not doing that.
It's good to see that kind of fight, though, in them at this point in the season, to see the Rockets fight like that and get themselves in position. That's a really good sign. I guarantee you the Tillman and Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone, I guarantee you they're happy to see that the Rockets were fighting and battling like that without you know, without their big.
Do you bring Shingun back now? I don't think so.
For the season? No.
No.
No. No.
I mean, well, the talk was he's coming back.
That was a talk that they would try to get him back, but there's no.
There's no reason.
For what? Yeah. For who? There's. Why would you even risk it with Shingun? I'm not one of these people who say, why would you risk it? Just guys sit out. I mean, if they're healthy, you can play. But there's no way Shingun, based on his injury, there's no way he's going to be even close to 100%. So why risk it?
Yeah.
I would say if you're pushing through to try to make a playoffs, absolutely. If you believe that he will not hurt himself more. But if it's just to finish the season off, I don't really see that you even take a chance with it.
So, yeah, you got Golden State here tomorrow night. What was going to be a big game, it's really lost a little bit of its luster with these last two losses. The Rockets couldn't afford. They had to go on an unbelievable run. And they did. They really did. The 10 straight wins was just fantastic.
11 straight.
11 straight wins.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. And
7 on the road.
You're right. You just kind of peter out. You can't keep that same, especially against really good teams. Dallas just destroyed you here. Luka is just so much better. And that Minnesota team is one of the best teams in the NBA. That's one of the best teams in the NBA. So you ran into a wall. Now you got Golden State, who's playing great basketball. You got Miami and at Dallas. So, I don't think.
Pretty much have to win. Yeah, you got to win out.
Yeah, you got to win out. And it would be a way. Don't bring Alpi back. Let him rest. Yeah. Start again next season. You showed something, though. You showed a lot of heart. It really was. You still can finish over 500. It's a great turnaround. Ime won Coach of the Month, which was nice.
Yeah.
It was. He says, I wish Jalen would have won the Player of the Month.
Who won Player of the Month?
I don't know, but he must be really, really good.
Yeah, because Jalen had a hell of a... By the way, do you know what Jalen, his three-point percentage is over the last three games?
No.
22%.
Yeah.
Do you know what over the last 10 games? Do you know Dylan Brooks' 3-point percentage over the last 10 games?
Oh, he's bad. He's bad.
See if you can guess. You won't go low enough.
Well, I know he had a couple of 0 for 8s.
Okay.
He had a couple 0 for 8s.
Last 10 games.
Last 10 games? 12%?
15%.
15%. That's about right. Yeah.
15% over the last 10 games.
That's bad.
And I mean, it's not like 0 for 1, 0 for. No, the sample size is pretty robust.
He had a few 0 for 8s.
With him. Jalen is at a point right now where he probably, once we get into 11 and 12 three-pointers a game, we're too high.
Yeah.
That's too high for Jalen. I get when he was hot, you know, but I think it has to come to him. Right now I feel like he's getting threes up rather than letting threes come to him. He's at his best when he attacks and then lets it come to him after that. So I think right now the three-point shots, there's probably a few too many going up for Jalen, and it needs to be one of those things where he gets into the game. Man, when he's attacking the rim, he really gets into the game, gets the confidence flowing. But, you know, it's not a huge thing. It's not like he caused them the game or anything. I'm just saying he needs to make sure he always tries to rein it in a little bit. And if the three-pointer's not working for him, kind of get away from it. Got a couple really good examples of Altuve base running. What is it the equivalent of, Dell? Mention this, that, you know, sometimes it hurts you, but a lot of times it doesn't, but it's still super frustrating. These are pretty good ones. Toe on the three-point line consistently. It doesn't. You scored two instead of three, but it's super frustrating. And then Altuve's base running equals fumbling out of the opponent's end zone for a turnover instead of a touchdown. Now, that can hurt you, but it's not necessarily
going
to.
That's more impactful, I think.
That's more impactful. The toe on the line,
But you're still scoring. Like, base running could.
No, making base running blunders.
Like base running can kill an inning off. It could keep you from scoring. I'm still thinking, oh, and it's dumb. It makes you feel, oh, this guy's doing dumb stuff. I'm still sticking with you fouled a 3-point shooter. Why are you fouling? The rule, don't ever foul a 3-point shooter.
What about a hit by a pitch with two strikes and two outs and you put a runner on? Or what about a.
A 3-0.
What about a 2? What about a
3-0 pitch down the middle that he gets a base hit on?
That hurts you. But what about an 0-2 walk with two outs?
Well, that's still baseball.
That's still, yeah.
No, but if
throwing one down the middle 3-0 that he gets a knock with is just can't be dumber. It's like, what are you doing?
I watched the Bray go from 3-0 to striking out. I was
like, yeah,
that was ugly yesterday. Was
He's really on fire.
I heard about this.
It's really
great. Abreu showed up for a month last year.
At least he made a couple plays on Monday to save a no-hitter.
We always have that month, though. That's September.
Yeah, we did. We had the postseason. Okay. He's bad. Woof. All right. Bring in John Singleton. I am Lytics. Now calling
for Lytics. He's part of the Lytics that went on that one offseason.
This is the last year of 19.5. Speaking of which, I was just looking through. We'll get it on the other side. But Dylan Brooks' impact on this team is really minimal. It's really minimal.
How do you say that?
We'll do it on the other side. Okay. But right now I'm talking about my man, Kent, over at Dream Rate. I heard yesterday, Brenda, was our salesperson, said, man, he loves it, what you're doing, and people are calling. And here's the deal is, I don't know, when you go and you sign for a house, right, there's like a book of papers that you have to sign. It's just ridiculous how much you have to sign. This, and you keep going through it. It's like, yeah, I don't look at anything. This fee, that fee. And you're like, okay, well, all right, here's I sign. Well, how about taking a lot of those fees away? How about that's what Kent at Dream Rate does? How about that? I never met my mortgage people. Didn't know. You know what? All I knew was, oh, they know what they're doing. Great. But that's fee here, fee there. You know how much you can cut from not only at signing, but through the life of your mortgage? You can do this if you have a broker, and especially Kent over at Dream Rate, because Kent is going to work that hard for you. He is going to try his best to get as much off as possible. It's what he does. He geeks out on this. He loves this stuff. He is the ultimate mortgage hookup. He's a mortgage nerd. I'm telling you, he loves this stuff. So he is going to find as much money for you as he possibly can every time. 29 years of business, you can trust him, and I'm going to tell you, he is going to work his ass off for you. All you need to do is go to Dream Rate, call 713-520-5626, 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, 975loans.com, that's 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473, J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, let's go. 713. What a crap. This has like been probably, I mean, we've been doing this show 25-plus years, and I don't know that we've had, we've had really crappy sports weeks. But this week has been especially, starting from Monday, with the worst weekend, one of the worst weekends we've ever had, between the Cougs, the Rockets, and the Astros getting swept by the Yankees. And now it just continues. Rockets, another loss. Astros, another loss. Just crappy crap and crap. This has just been crap. Okay, I know are the kids still on their way to school? Do they still go to school? Do kids have to still go to school in America?
Yes.
I forget.
Yes.
Do kids still have to go to school?
It's substantially easier, but yes. Well, you don't get zeros anymore. You can make up zeros really for the whole semester.
Your kids find a way to get suspended, too.
Yeah, Snacks does, but it's for, like, tardies. I got another one coming up Friday.
What about for Fs?
We added another one on Friday.
We did? Good for us.
And another one. We're up to five.
Good. Attaboy, Snacks. Attaboy.
Late.
Hey.
No, this one actually isn't being late. This one's not having his ID lanyard.
Oh, is he on a Rockets 11 in a row run right now?
Yeah.
He's on a pretty good run.
He's on
an Astros home game.
It actually slowed down, was getting some stuff done. But, yeah, but no, HISD is you got to try hard to get anything under a C. And C is almost impossible not to get a C. Like if you just turn something in
say
retest. You can take retests anytime you want. Like, I didn't like this one. I'll take it again. Okay. Do you need your book open? Would you like an open book test? I mean, they are doing everything they can to make sure everyone, you don't have to turn stuff in. I got four zeros. Oh, when I got zero, it was a zero. Yeah. Now zeros are just like placeholders for you to turn it in later. Hmm. I mean, there is no deterrent for not doing your stuff on time. Nothing in school. Other than you can't get 100 if you turn it in late. You may only be able to get a 70. A 70 is a lot better than a zero.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's awesome. I wish I was in school.
Yeah.
I really don't want to be.
Kids learn a lot of lessons.
I do not want to be a kid in this world because that means I'd have a lot more time here. I really don't want that. Not the way this.
And you can't go golf going. If you're a kid. If I could go back, if you could go back in time, what age are you going back to?
I would go back to. Oh, wow. That's a good question.
I know. I
might go back to seventh grade when my buddies were going golfing and I told them no, and I would have gone with them.
Oh, my God. In Chicago, you got your ass kicked doing that.
No. They were offensive linemen. They were like, yeah, we're going to go golf. I was like,
not animals.
What are you guys?
They were not part of your
80 years old? Yeah. Golfing.
So you would go back and start golfing at. What the hell is this?
I might have done things a little differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dell, what would you go back in time to when you left Pizza King?
No. There was a time where I was like your kid getting bad grades.
You go back and try?
No, I wouldn't do that. Because I eventually started trying in college and I was fine there despite winding up here somehow, some way. But I wasn't getting good grades, but my dad came in and he was like, if you keep getting bad grades, you won't be able to play soccer. And I was like, I never asked to play soccer anyway because it was his deal. And then I never played soccer at the club level again. He was like, okay, fine. So
I wish I played some club level soccer.
So I wish I would have gone back. I was like 13, so I was like, you're a dumb kid. But he took it the hard. Fine, okay, you never asked. You ain't gonna play again. So I would have gone back and not. I remember where I was. I was washing dishes, and he came in, and he goes, if you don't pick up your grades, you're not going to play. And I was like, never asked to play to begin with. And that was it.
See, your little attitude.
I was 13.
Started then.
But you've been sassy since then.
Yes.
But you've been a little sassy.
Don't you wish
little,
you had started down a road that was nicer?
Sassy little sass ever since
but
then.
But don't you think the grown adult doesn't be so offended by his teenage
son. Well, maybe
son.
Not for the whole. Maybe he calls your bluff and he says, okay, you won't play, but then eventually he left.
Yeah, but.
That was like he made a life decision at 13. You will never play.
Don't do the accent.
Club soccer again.
Yeah, what is. I'm a teenager. I'm going to say dumb stuff. How about we don't take it to heart and change my life?
I know.
Yeah.
I know where I'd go
well,
back
no,
to.
No, no. You consequences for your words.
At 13.
There are consequences at 13.
Years words old. Matter. Yeah. Words matter, Dell.
You know, this isn't Shogun. I mean, don't ruin my life because of it.
You know, mentioned, man.
I would go back and pillow.
Just
pillow with who?
Out.
Who are you going to pillow with?
What?
He said he'd go back and pillow.
Who are you pillowing?
Who did you turn down that you would do?
I could have pillowed at this party one time, and I.
You didn't?
I let. It was just.
So you couldn't go back to that party?
Yeah.
And pillow?
And I'm not letting Michael Finley
wow,
have it.
That was a.
Michael Finley doesn't get it this time. I'm pillowing.
The Dallas Maverick?
I just
Maverick?
Gave in and said that's. No, not even the Dallas Maverick. His dad got so pissed at me one time. I got picked off. I told him at Altuve, we had a time limit. We were going to win a Little League. Well, it was a Little League baseball game. Actually, it was Senior League, you know, when you're like 13 plus. And we were going to win. The time limit was going to. We were going to kill off the inning, and it wasn't going to start at a certain time, so we were going to win. I had such a lead off second base. I got picked off.
Altuve.
I swear on everything. Michael Finley's dad, I don't think he ever forgave me. He was the coach, and then we had to start the inning. And then, of course, it was Altuve because we had to start the inning. And, of course, the other team ended up beating us. With that extra inning that they were able to get in because of the time limit, we got beat. And to this day, when I've seen Michael, last time I saw Michael was probably years ago. I said, hey, just – apologize to your dad again about what happened when I was 13. I'm off second base like I'm some kind. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So I'd go back, but I wouldn't change that. I would just change. I would change my decision making at a party.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go back to okay.
I know the party and I know the moment of truth. And I said, okay, you can have this one. I shouldn't have.
Wow.
I needed to be more competitive.
You can have this one.
You can have
yeah.
It. Mm. So
I'll tell you during the break. I just know that I should have been a more competitive.
So she was one for the streets?
No, not at all. That's the thing. No, I should have just been a. Sometimes you need to let your competitive spirit shine. And you don't just give one in to the, you know, the guy who's 1 year older in school. Okay, we were both in college.
How about you don't groove one to Cal Ripken Jr. in the All-Star game?
What's that?
Who was the pitcher who grooved one to Cal Ripken Jr. in the All-Star game?
And when he
in his last All-Star game, he hit a home run, and people were like, "Oh, he threw that pitch down the middle."
Yeah.
Oh, you know who you are? You're Brett Favre and Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
That is. I farved it. I just laid down and let Michael get the sack.
Well, you didn't really lay down. That's the problem.
It was a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, I figuratively laid down, and he got the sack, literally.
You know, before we go, I mentioned Dylan Brooks. I was looking through this. You know how on the right of the Rockets schedule, you've got Rockets high score, high assist, high rebound. When was the last time Dylan Brooks was mentioned on any of those?
Oh, probably a while.
How long?
Well, I mean, that's not his jam. If anything, maybe rebounds, but that's... I mean, oh no, probably score. He had a high point scoring one time. He had
23.
And it was high point scoring?
Yeah.
Against who? Well, how long ago was that?
It was against the Knicks. February 12th.
Yeah.
February 12th was the last time.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, he should be grabbing more rebounds than this.
But not to lead the team.
Though. Why not?
Well, because a lot of times he's on the perimeter guarding.
Amen is leading the team most of the time.
But he's on the perimeter guarding. Yeah. Dylan is your top perimeter defender. A lot of times he's on the guys who are the best scorers on the wing. I don't think he's going to be around the basket. He's in direct conflict with that player going to the basket or shooting. I don't think he's in position to rebound.
Yeah, he's never been a high rebound guy throughout his career.
He's just not going to be in position to if he's defending shooters. You don't get rebounds if you're defending shooters.
Oh, and by the way, this year it's his career high in rebound.
Yeah, John. Bang.
Bang.
3.4. That's okay. Currently a career
How much?
High. 3.4. Currently a career high.
Okay, that's surprising. It's that low. But like I said, if you're always defending shooters and scorers, you're not by the basket. That is a little, I mean, that is low, though.
It's really low.
Lower than I would have expected.
And you could grab some offensive rebounds.
Yeah, but I think that's a little out of line for you to say he's not really helping the team much or whatever. I think his defense, number one, I think his attitude and passion, I think... The same reason that you like Fred VanVleet.
His defense and his attitude. He played 28 minutes and 21 minutes the last two games. 29 minutes, 26 minutes, 25 minutes, 23 minutes. He's playing half a game.
But that's not his
fault. This is a $20 million guy for 4 years.
Well, that's not his fault. What? Fred VanVleet makes twice that.
If you're not being impactful, you don't play as much.
What was he brought here to do? Change culture.
Yeah, okay.
No, he was, and it
for
has.
$80 million. Okay.
And it has. Well, I mean, I had a problem at the beginning. No one else was complaining about it. I mean, 4 years seems crazy to me, but you know what? Honestly, I think he's done his job. Guys play harder. Guys are more accountable. He sticks up for players.
I don't know.
When players get into it, he sticks up for it. I guarantee you, Ime Udoka would disagree with you.
No.
He's limited. That's why he can't play 35 minutes because, I mean, he's a limited offensive option.
Long. He can't be a guy you depend on.
No, he's not a guy.
He was never 20. He's never worth 20 for 4 years.
Here's his 3-point. He had last night 28 points, 28 minutes, 0 points.
I told you he's shooting 15%
three
the
rebounds,
last 10 games.
0-for-7 and three.
Yeah,
0-for-8 field goals.
But this is who he is. This is what happens.
As guys like Amen Thompson continue to find roles, particularly at not the point guard because that's filled, and then when Tari Eason comes back. Dylan Brooks' minutes will continue to increase.
That's why I've never understood the four-year deal, but 3 years would have made sense. But I do think he and Fred VanVleet have been very, very valuable in terms of playing tougher, playing more accountable.
I agree with that.
I think they paid for that.
But you got to get more. I don't know.
You're not gonna.
I would like to get more out of my $20 million than just.
But
some
you're
toughness.
Not. You're not going to. You're going to get defense out of him.
Okay.
He's not gonna be a permanent scorer. In fact. I would tell you the shooting was kind of a mirage from early. His 3-point percentage now is way higher than I ever expected. But you know he's shooting like 35.5% right now from three.
Well, this is his lowest scoring since 19, by the way.
Yeah, well, he's with Alpian. Yeah, I mean, he's with Alpian, Jalen Green.
He was with a ball hawk before this. I mean, everything just is.
Yeah, the month of March was not kind. You talk about the shooting percentage. He was at 25% for the month of March, shooting from three.
Yeah, he's not. He's falling back into who he is.
Regression to the mean for Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, he was like, I didn't know who early. That Dylan Brooks doesn't exist. 40% Dylan Brooks. Come on. That does. It doesn't exist. This is who he is. And as Amen Thompson gets more minutes, Atari comes. That's why every time I talk about drafting or getting this player, who goes? Like, who goes? There's not space. You got a $20 million guy who you have for three more years. You got Fred VanVleet, who's a $40 million guy. Amen Thompson had 9 boards yesterday. He's maybe your best pound-for-pound rebounder on the team. You got Jabari, who's a glue guy. Jalen, who's an explosive scorer. Alperen Şengün, who's the all-around, one of the all-around better players in the league from a total impact offensively. Who's going? And Cam Whitmore. We just mentioned, Cam had a pretty good day off the bench. Didn't do much but score. Where do the minutes go? Dylan Brooks is a good defender, so you want him out there. But at the same time, like, man, I don't mind some of the scorers out there as well. That's why I think there has to be a trade in the offseason. Has to be. Yeah, well, there's a glut.
That's what Tim McManus said. 747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk about Canstead and Dublin right now. The UFC, okay, look for it. April 5th, the UFC Fight Pass in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Two fighters, Griffin Peria and Chai Gang, are going to wear Canstead and Dublin logos or Dublin logos. This is something, I mean, I'm telling you, this thing is really, really taken off. It is the way to go if you're looking for a great way to get off that dip. I mean, it's awful. It is awful with the dip in the mouth and the spitting and the grossness and everything about it and the danger, how harmful it can be with the nicotine and the tobacco. This is hemp in a pouch made of hemp with the flavor that you're looking for and CBD oil that's got, it's more healing. It certainly isn't dangerous in any way, shape, or form for you. It's actually can be great for you. If you're looking for a great way to get off of that dip and get, start, do this now. Go to 975dip.com, 975dip.com, and start the process of weaning yourself from that tobacco and nicotine, which is dangerous. She'll love it. You'll love it. Everybody will love it. Everyone around you is going to love it. 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
So when is the draft? It's in a couple of weeks, right?
It's toward the end of April.
Where is it this year? Cleveland?
No, it's Kansas City was last year, right?
Yeah,
it's Detroit.
Detroit, same thing. Cleveland, Detroit, same thing.
Michigan and Ohio, the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know where it is next year?
Yes.
Do you know what's happening right now?
Wait. Next year is at Green Bay?
Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know what's happening right now? 21 inches today.
Of snow?
Snow.
Ooh.
April.
Yeah, but
April, they've got 21 inches of snow.
Yeah, we had that cool front that came in last night, and then it's supposed to be 84 tomorrow, so it's a one-day cool front.
No, I'm talking about Green Bay. And
well, I'm saying it's a whole
storm. What does that have to do? I know it's a storm cold system. 54 this morning when I went outside. I was like,
it's 30 degrees.
I got to play golf today. And
well, that's not going to be favorable, but they also had a Super Bowl in New York.
Yeah, I know. But
in an open-air stadium.
I left Green Bay on Mother's Day in May when it was coming down.
What will they do? Why this might teach them a lesson about you can't be doing this stuff.
No, Green Bay, they don't have the infrastructure for this.
They don't have the infrastructure. I can't believe they got an event like this.
No.
I honestly can't.
There's like a two-week period in Green Bay that you can count on, like late June, early July.
Historically, they looked at it and they're fine, but history versus it's still Green Bay. Like, there's still a chance. But even if the weather was great, all I could think of was I know how big the draft has gotten. I don't know how you have where are the hotels for all this?
They don't have them. They don't have them. They just don't. They're going to have to stay in Appleton, Sheboygan, Milwaukee.
You know, more come for the draft than go to a game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to stay in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Oh, no. Way more.
You got to stay in Milwaukee, right? Yeah. How long a trip is that?
It only holds 70,000.
How long a trip is that?
From where? From Appleton is about 40 minutes. Sheboygan's about 45 minutes.
Oh, that's not terrible.
No.
It's like coming in from the Woodlands or something.
Yeah, but It's ridiculous. This is a possible disaster for the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I know that everyone always asks me every year, you going to the, hey, you are you coming up? Like people who were in Kansas City last year, are you there for the draft? I'll see you at the draft. I'm like, I'm in California every year. I don't, last draft I went to was Chicago in 16, the Laramie Tunsil bong hit video. That's the last draft I was at. I go to LA, so I'll be in LA. Luckily, I don't have to work Friday morning because the Texans don't have a first round pick. That's how that works. And then, so
you're
I'll see you
working
guys on
Friday morning.
I'll see you guys
yeah,
on Monday.
No, you're working Friday morning.
See you guys on Monday.
Yeah, we're all working. That's all right. It's we
yeah,
work.
Let's just make sure you're ready.
You know, I had
to go.
A new mock draft come out yesterday.
I did.
See that. The NFL retweeted it, and so, I'd say the angriest fans are Patriots fans. It's not typically a great group to get pissed off. By the way,
okay, let's. Okay, I mean you did it. You were on NFL Network yesterday. You're like, did you wear your Cowboys hat again?
I don't have a Cowboys hat.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
I don't have one. They
okay,
just
okay. Does anybody know if Lance has ever had a Cowboys hat?
I put one on
the set on.
I put one
on the NFL Network.
I put one on. I should have worn a actual cowboy hat from Texas Republic from Republic Boot Company. I should have got a hat and just worn that during the show. That should be my new. I should rebrand and do a new gimmick. Should've. Like Deion has gone to the cowboy hat. You know, I was looking at Deion early in the year, and then mid-season he goes. Cowboy hat's going to be actually earlier in the season. He decided cowboy hat's my look. This is going to be my look. And I don't really have that. Like I need to come up with something that's a look for the end. Like maybe I wear a cowboy hat. Maybe that's just my thing, but I've always hated the, you know, fought against railed against everything in Texas is cowboys and horses. I remember going to Close Up in Washington where you go learn about the government. You go as a high school senior. It's cool. We had people from Philadelphia or Pennsylvania and Georgia were there along with us. And we tour everything and it was great. It was really a terrific trip. The people from Pennsylvania all thought we had the first thing I learned was that if they found a roach in their house, they would like move out of the house. To them, roach is like, oh my God, we've got to move. I just thought, oh, roach, you're going to have to deal.
You got a lot of roaches in your house?
You got to deal with this. No,
call Scott McGrath.
That's what I'm saying, but you're going to see them. They're going to come out and die.
They're dying. I saw a couple dead outside my house.
Yeah, they're going
to
die.
They try to even penetrate the Scott McGrath shield that he's put up. Dead.
But the other thing was, they like you guys ride. This guy legitimately asked if we can get to school. Like, does anyone ride horses to school? I'm like, what are you?
No,
ride horses to school.
I rode a horse this morning to school to work.
Ride a horse to school.
Yeah,
come on, you big galoot! This guy was a big redhead galoot from Pennsylvania.
Here? What? How did this story start?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were we talking about the draft?
He's going to be on the set with a cowboy hat or something.
How did that go there? Crap.
So
it's hard being me sometimes.
So you tell us your drafts. I want to hear your first 10.
All right.
Save it for the other side.
We did get the cowboy hat on the set.
Thankfully. We'll hear Lance's top 10 of the draft when we come back.
Okay, but first, what about
Underdog Fantasy? Listen, download the app, Underdog Fantasy. You can go to underdogfantasy.com, but go download the app wherever, whatever type of phone you use. Download it and use the promo code Lance. On your first deposit, you're going to use Lance as your promo code. They are going to double your initial deposit up to $100. So you get free money in there based on your deposit. You're going to put your money in there, and then they're going to match you up to $100. And from there, you start the pick'em game. Well, this is the one I would recommend is the pick'em game, because on the pick'em game, you can go between two players and five players. You can do it for the tournament that's coming, you know, with the tournament games coming up, the Final Four. You've got Rockets basketball. You've got lots of different sports. I'm talking about basketball today, but don't think that they don't have golf, UFC, women's basketball, everything that's available for you to go higher or lower on that particular stat. You've got to take a look at it. They'll even have stuff during the draft, I promise you. So you're going to have an opportunity to make real money right here in the state of Texas. It's completely legal. Just pick between two and five players, and you win multipliers of your original play. It can go up to 100 times your original play. This is a great chance for you to watch the games, but play along with it and make real money with Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code Lance. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.